Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Master Karen again with Master of Inspiration. And I'm so glad that you got to tune in today because this has been something very heavy on my heart to talk about lately. And I really think that this is going to help you along your journey if you've had a less than perfect journey. And I will be the first to tell you that I have. And by the grace of God, I do good. And I'm not bragging when I say good. I just mean that I feel good about the path that I'm on right now and where it's headed. So that's my definition of good. I got my friend with me, Maria. Hi, Maria.
Hi. Thank you for having me. I'm honored to be your guest again.
I'm glad that you're back because when we did the show the last time, last month, it got really good reviews and a lot of people tuned in and had a lot of great things to say. So I think we're helping people, sister, and it's an honor to have you back. Absolutely. Okay, so Maria, I got to ask you, what is your definition of doing good for yourself?
That's a good question. I think if someone's doing good for themselves, I would say they're independent and they are in a happy place knowing that good things are coming their way.
Okay, very good, because we kind of said the same thing, only differently. We both talked about just now that it's kind of a future thing. Well, you just know you've got good things coming, and we both kind of said that in our own way. And we've actually talked about this quite a bit. There's so many things in life that could cause you to question that path, that future that you've got coming up. And what I have discovered is a lot of the question marks that pop up have to do with your past. Would you agree with that?
Well, and I think a lot of us, including myself, have lived in our past, my past, and you just wish, oh, I wish I would have, I could have, I should have. And overcoming that, and that's for me a daily decision and not going back and thinking about what should have been.
Right. You know, actually, ladies and gentlemen, we talk like this all the time. My friend Maria is very, very busy these days, but we've spent over the course of the last 17 years having some very, very deep thoughts just about the things that we're talking about right now. And, you know, throughout the 17 years that we've known each other, you know, we've gone through a lot of changes. Of course, anybody would, but you really have. I mean, when I first met you, Maria, you were just out of college, I think, and you got a really good job for someone just out of college. You were working as an assignment editor for a major TV station, for Fox. That's a major market TV station, which is pretty darn good. But now that I know how good you are at sales, I could see how that would happen. I would have used another analogy.
I think that's a compliment. Thank you.
I would have used another analogy if this wasn't a family show. But anyway, you know, for a young girl coming out of college, that was a pretty good job, even though, my God, it's a godforsaken job being an assignment editor, in my opinion. I mean, you talk about making you have a nervous breakdown. Maria, let me just let everybody kind of know what you had to do every single day for 8 hours, okay, for 40 hours plus a week if you got called in because an airplane crashed or something really, really bad, right? It's a newsroom. So you're talking about guys having to sit in this booth, you know, that has like several police station radios blaring at the same time. Three other networks blaring at the same time because Maria's job as an assignment editor is she had to catch the news. I mean, she had to find out what was going on. And if she missed it and we missed a story because of it, woo, that wasn't good. I don't think you ever did miss any stories, did you?
You know, I'm sure I did, and we just didn't know about it, but we had to be on task all the time. Like you said, coordinating logistics, coordinating stories. What story was this reporter going to cover? How are they going to cover it. What photographer got along with the reporter on assignment that day? I mean, and like you said, when you say police scanners, they're probably, to my recollection, were probably 6 to 9 scanners going nonstop all the time. And it
I mean, describe how you were at the end of the day. You'd have to be a nervous wreck.
You know, God wired me. I was never really a nervous wreck, thank God. I mean, certain people are wired for different reasons. I was just done. I wanted to shut down, and I was definitely ready to go home. You know, you mentioned 8 hours a day. I don't think I ever worked 8 hours. I remember it being more like 10 hours a day. But the commute home, I just was so ready to get in my car and just decompress every day. As you know, it was, you know, in the newsroom we used to say, if it bleeds, it leads. And every day, like you said, maybe it was a plane crash, maybe somebody got shot, maybe a child missing, maybe there was just all constant scandal, constant drama. So it wears on you a little bit being around that all the time. For me, it wore on me a little bit.
Well, I mean, yeah, and you're superhuman for it not to have given you a nervous breakdown, because most people could not hire that high level of, what's the word, just constant chaos, just chaos. I mean, from the minute you get there to the minute you leave. And, of course, chaos was what we needed, because that's what made news and that's what got us ratings. Unfortunately, it's true. And, you know, I was a reporter when we worked together during the week. And so, you know, you had to coordinate with me many times so that I could get my story shot. And that's how we became, you know, really good friends, just actually working for Fox News. And it's funny we talk about it, but, man, it seems like a lifetime ago, doesn't it? Good gosh.
It does. And don't you feel resilient? I remember when I got out of TV and you said to me, listen, if we could do this job, we could do any job. And I think that there is definitely that there is some real truth that resonates in that statement.
Absolutely. I mean, it's just, you know, I think I did a post on my personal timeline, and I found one of my old publicity photos from Fox. And I looked at that picture and I go, and I asked myself, do you miss what you did? Because, you know, I did it as a talent. I did it a long time, well over 20 years. And I thought, man, I don't miss it. I really don't miss. People always ask me, do you miss being on TV? No, I don't. I loved what I did. I absolutely loved it. But I did not love the lack of commitment, the lack of concern, just basic ingredients of being a human being. And I didn't love, you know, the disrespect. And I look back and go, how did you do it for so long? But, you know, I don't know. I just think that you do what you have to do, and you think everybody in the world thinks that you've made it. If you, especially in our business, if you're doing major market TV, you know, you've made it. And I tell you, I wasn't happy. I mean, it's just every single day it was something, just every day. And being someone now that I've been on my journey from that point, I do realize that, you know, God had other things in mind for me to do that are bigger and better in the spiritual realm, the spirit world. And, of course, you, I think I mentioned this last time, I mean, you're beyond blessed. You got out and you just, like, followed the rainbow to a pot of gold or something. I don't know. Well, how you mean, God, but you did well. So,
well,
and now,
praise God. I give it all to God. But I have to tell you, you know, people looked at you and assumed the glamour. And there were definite perks to what you did, especially being on air and talented, and you were good at it. There were different, you met a lot of different people. Every day was a different story. I don't think you ever had the opportunity in TV to become complacent just because you are out and about and it's what's, you know, it's about your next story. It's kind of like in sales. I mean, you can have a great month, but what's next month look like or next year? But people assume the glamour. And though the perks were good, you know, when you say, Maria, you're beyond blessed, I think blessings really is just looking at a place of peace. And sometimes peace is hard to seek daily, especially when we were in that kind of an environment. And like you said, it was just constant chaos. That was a great description.
Right. And then you're saying something very interesting here, which we're going to talk about today, because people will equate fame and fortune on whatever level, they will equate that to peace. And that's a big mistake because it has nothing to do with peace and happiness. My word for today for us is worthiness. What is your self-worth? And it took me a long time to figure out that word and you know, exactly how did I get to be where I am and how do I change, you know, what the foundation that I had to build on when it comes to the word of self-worth. I guess it's two words. So when it comes to self-worth, and we've talked about this, you and I, many times, you know, it doesn't really matter how much money you make. It doesn't matter how good of a job you have, if you're talented or famous or you win a lot of trophies, you're a champion fighter. It doesn't, none of those things matter if you don't have a foundation of self-worth. Take it from there, sister.
Well, self-worth, right? If we look it up in the dictionary, is being good enough. I am good enough for this. And, you know, there's always going to be richer, smarter, skinnier, smarter, stronger. There's always going to be worth that. But it's just being in this place. And if I can just be very vulnerable with you, I have really rough days, and then I have fabulous days where I look in the mirror and I feel like I can take this on. Worthiness is something that just is with deep, and it, you can have tons of accolades and, like you said, the prizes, and it's knowing your own quality and your own value, that I am enough, showing up the way that I am without how many sales I have behind my name or how many letters I have before my name, but it's just showing up feeling that I provide value, that I am a child of God, and in that in itself, that I am here to do something bigger than is for myself, and I'm being used for a bigger purpose. That's when I see the word worthiness at its
come to fruition.
Yeah.
Well, and
yeah.
And you know, I can understand how people would view. Especially women, my gosh, it's so difficult by the physicality that they put on women in society, that, you know, your sense of self-worth, if you're just, you know, a little bit overweight or having a bad hair day or anything, I mean, it's just, there's so much pressure on women with the physical looks from day one when you're brought into this world. Everything is about how put together you are just by being a woman. I mean, you know, now they've got, what, beauty pageants for newborn baby girls. So if you ain't in beauty pageant, I'm not knocking you. I mean, I was in a couple myself. But, you know, I just want to say the self-worth of a girl, please don't put that in her head. Because, you know, you have ugly days when you're a chick. When you just had a baby, oh, my gosh, you feel like so dang ugly. Remember those days?
It's so true. Well, remember, some of us still have those days, and, you know, it comes down to respect. You know, I'm smart enough at this point in my life, Karen, and you've taught me, we've had this conversation before, I'm not going to be everybody's cup of tea, and they may not like me, but I will have them respect me, and that starts from respecting myself, and that goes from the women. You know, everybody has a different level of tolerability with respect. Some people allow more things than other. But I think when we really respect ourselves, our bodies, our minds, our soul, our spirituality, that just emanates when we walk into a room. And as you know, that doesn't sit well with every single person. And so all you could do is be on your own journey, not where you used to be. Maybe you're not where you need to be, but I'm just becoming the best version of me.
Best version of you. And it's funny because it's almost like, and it's certainly this way with you and me. I know that when sometimes you walk in the room and right away people will either love you or they will not love you. I mean, it's just amazing to look at people's faces when you walk in the room and to see when they drop their face or give you a dirty look and you don't even know them. I mean, there's so many things that you could take as a to go against your sense of self-worth. But interestingly enough, you know, the foundation you have to build on coming out of your formative years as far as self-worth goes, that's huge. And it's so important for us as parents to make sure that we are instilling in our children a foundation where they're going to have a good sense of self-worth so that, A, they don't go into this world, a young person, constantly trying to validate themselves, constant validation, one plastic surgery after another sometimes, just having to be the star, having to make the big bucks and you're only 18 years old. There's so many things out there where you have to feel validated because of fame, fortune, and power, because that's what society puts in your head. And I think as parents and all of the karate instructors out there with me that are listening, we got a big job to make sure these young people that we have for an hour a day or that we're raising, that they're going to have a solid foundation where they don't have to waste any time when it comes to building up their own self-worth. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. And helping our children or our peers, our friends, feeling adequate. And
right.
Sometimes adequate is, it's okay, and that doesn't need to be gained through merit.
Mm-hmm.
But more,
you know,
through character.
Okay, so we have just spent several minutes discussing an inspirational understanding about worthiness or self-worth. Now, I'm going to take it a little bit deeper right now. So I've decided I'm going to start doing this. I'm just going to warn people right now, I'm going to get real Christy on you. So if you're done and you've had your stuff for the day with me, good. You can go. But if you want to go a little bit deeper, thinking, what do you mean? You're religious? Oh, man, am I? You have no clue if you don't really know me. I'm going to take this a little bit deeper. So you ready to go a little bit deeper, Maria? I know you don't have a problem with it.
Let's go, sister. Let's go.
Okay. Unworthiness is a spirit. It is a spirit. I've told you, I think it's the most evil spirit there is, the sense of not having worth. Think about every bad thing that happens in the world today. I can almost 99% of the time equate it to the spirit of no self-worth, worthlessness. We'll just say worthlessness. You know, I mean, let's take bullying, for instance. You know, bullying creates more worthlessness, of course, for the victim that's being bullied. But what a lot of people don't know is that a bully is someone who feels worthless, because the object of the bully is to esteem themselves higher by causing someone else to look lower than them. So of course, bullying is a horrible way to victimize kids for life. But
well, let me interrupt by telling you, hurting people hurt people. So what you just said, just focus on that. When people feel awful about themselves and they look at someone and say, look at her hair, look at her, how big her thighs are, wow, look at her face, or whatever they're making fun of, that is because they don't feel comfortable within their own skin. So if they can
yep.
take the attention off of them and make it about someone else, that sure enough. I want to share a quick story with you. I am divorced, as you know, for 10 years. And until recently, I really felt that was a handicap. Raising children in a broken home is just not fun, period. No matter how I needed to get a divorce, but no matter how validated that divorce was, it's still very difficult to bring children. And I looked at that I had my kids starting off already had one strike against them. Recently had a conversation with a mom who said, you know, nothing is good enough for your kids. And I couldn't even believe that she would be even referencing my children, because to me, not being married because of my own beliefs, my belief of what worthiness meant or what it meant to be divorced, my back, you know, I'm looking at this through my lens. Of course, you know, I grew up Catholic, very old-fashioned, old-school Italian, where you just make things work. But not all the time do you have to make things work and not validating yourself. And when you have a perception or someone else has a perception. And in my mind, I just can't even believe someone would ever even question, because I looked at myself like not a victim, but that my kids had a strike against them, not having mom and dad in the same house. And you know what, Karen? I recently don't feel like that to anybody out there who has any kind of belief system. So what, you've been through a divorce. So what, you've had and I'm not saying so what, I'm just saying move forward, because many women, and especially now we're seeing a lot of sexual harassment, sexual assault, just a lot of different entities. And I don't mean to say so what, but I'm just saying, listen, that's just the story you're telling yourself.
No, I do say so what. I agree with you, so what. So what if you're fat? So what if you're not a beauty queen? You know what? That just, don't let that cause you not to have a sense of self-worth. I like so what. Finish up, please. Go ahead.
Well, so what? I just don't want to seem very insensitive, but for so many years, and I've been divorced 10 years, I thought, oh, poor me. I would be so much more if I had a husband by my side. My boys play very competitive sports, so we do all these travel things together. And I just thought, oh, how nice would it be to go on one of these trips with a man who loved me and my boys. So what? I'm doing it by myself. My boys are very acclimated. They're very well adjusted. And guess what? I think they're probably stronger, more resilient, and their level of worthiness, seeing a very independent mother and father doing it the way he does, they get to now make their own decision of this probably isn't going to work for me, or this is going to work for me. And the best teachers I've had along the way are the people who maybe haven't made the best decisions, but I get to look at them and learn from that and say, so what? So what now? Now I can be better. And when I've had a friend recently tell me, you know, that mom may be jealous, and I can't even comprehend, and neither can you, Karen. We've had this conversation several times, that someone would be jealous of us if they knew our journey. Now listen, praise God, I have been, you're right, I found a pot of gold, and I hope I continue. I've been blessed in my career. Praise God. But what people don't see is that I'm up at 4:30 a.m. working. I go to bed at night. I miss tons of activities with my children. So when they look at me and say, oh, one of the top producers, wow, she must have it made, what they don't see is the background. But so what? That's my journey.
And you're very wired to do that. I mean, I actually had a real estate license at one time in my life, and I totally sucked at it. I mean, so what? I did. I'm not getting up at 4 in the morning. I love my sleep.
I like so what, because I also couldn't have a radio show like you have right now. I also couldn't be I don't even know how many belt degrees you are. And good
15th
for you.
Degree black belt. I'm a 15th
is
degree black
it?
Belt.
Is that it?
No. Ladies and gentlemen, you know I'm joking. Please don't write me about that. I know that's not the way it works. Okay.
So okay, what, you know, means we have to move forward and work the resilience.
That's what it means. You said something earlier. You know, people who talk bad about people, this goes back to that spirit of worthlessness. Because when you talk bad about somebody else, it's because you don't feel worthless. I mean, you don't feel like you have a sense of worth. Because evidently the person you're talking about makes you feel lower, makes you feel worthless. Does that make sense? I mean, everything that there's an evil entity attachment, anything. I don't care if it's, you know, what's protesting? Protesting is because you don't feel the same amount of worth of the people you're protesting against. Everything that I can think of in society goes back to a lack of self-worth. It's a spirit, and it's a spirit that you've got to recognize, and you've got to get it out of your life, because that spirit of worthlessness will hold you back from seeing the incredible future that you've got coming. And as both of us, as children growing up, you know, we were given a foundation where we were very challenged on being able to have a sense of worth in many ways. And it takes so much time to try to figure out how I got to get validated enough to even feel like I have a sense of worth about things. But if we can just curtail that all together and make sure for those of us who deal with young people that we give them a validation of sense of worth, which is one reason why I love martial arts so much. You know, that's why we are doing a difference in our world and understanding that we've got to make sure the next generation has a better sense of self-worth than we did. Okay.
So wait, let me ask you something. So if I asked you, how do I build my son or even my own self-worth, what's your answer to that?
My answer is a spiritual answer. And first of all, when you recognize the spirit of worthlessness put on you somewhere in your life, maybe it was your childhood, whatever it was, when you recognize it, you need to get rid of it. Any type of spirit that's not good needs to be getting rid of. And one thing that conquers any type of negative spirit is the spirit of love. Even the Bible says, love is the greatest. Love conquers all. The spirit of love is so powerful. If you can go out and love people, even people who make you feel worthless, and that's hard to do, but if you can do it, you're going to be empowered. You know, we talked about the bully. The bully, he's on a power trip when he can bully somebody and make that person feel lower because that lifts him up, and it's a very evil way to do it. By the same token, you could take the spirit of love, and when you show love to other people in every way that you can, you're going to cause your sense of worth to be uplifted and validated. And everything I'm saying, I am taking straight from the Bible. The manual I use is a spiritual guide to make my life and my journey better. I've had so many things in my journey that caused me to have a very low sense of worth. I know people look at me and they go, oh, no way, you know, because I like to post a lot of pictures where I'm holding trophies. And people might think, oh, yeah, well, everything's perfect with her. Listen, I'm on a journey just like everybody else. And I've learned that when I can show love to other people, that spirit is going to take out the spirit of worthlessness. Hope that answers your question.
Okay, that's a great answer. And showing love sometimes is, I mean, you can't outgive God, right? So if we're constantly giving, you're always, I think, going to get back what you give. But that is, some days that's easier. And some days, I think if we practice that all the time, because even 10 pounds heavier, you know, self-worthiness, well, I guess sometimes I think, well, I'm not going to have a date, so it's Friday night, I'm just going to stay home and I'll enjoy this bag of potato chips. That comes from a spirit of self-worthiness. A girlfriend of mine has a little, you know, she had to check into drinking. She didn't feel good enough. She felt better when she drank. That's self-worthiness. Someone who may use their body and sell sex, that may be, this makes them feel better.
Yep.
We have the opioid epidemic right now, right?
Right. It gives you a sense of worth. You're right. I mean, that
high
is a false sense of worthiness, of self-worth. Once again, a big evil this country struggles with, drugs and alcohol. It gives them a sense of worth. You're absolutely right. Okay, well, believe it or not, we've just about killed our time limit here. A lot of good stuff here. Everything, I would just like to say everything that you need to know on how to live your life is in the Bible. Go read it. If you don't like the old English version from the 1600s, and get a different version. Because the stuff that you need to know, especially in the New Testament, two testaments in the Bible, man, it's going to show you, be a manual on how you can live your life. And all these questions that you have, like, well, how do I get my self-worth back? You know, and again, you can make all the money in the world. You can be on TV. You can win every champion fight. If you don't have that sense of self-worth, you're never going to be able to embrace it. You're never ever going to be able to go forward and feel 100% whole the way that God intended for you to. You know what I mean, Miss Maria, final word?
Well, Karen, I just want to take what you said and expand it. When you say show love, I think that has to start from showing love to ourselves, honoring ourselves, and enjoying who we are, laughing at itself, and forgiving ourselves. But that love, yes, it needs to go out to everybody, but showing it within too, because then our cup runneth over, and we can only give what we have.
You're right, because even in the New Testament, if it says, you know, love others as yourself, love one another, love your neighbor as yourself. You can't love somebody first if you don't know how to love yourself. That is, you know, just a basic understanding that loving yourself is a prerequisite to being able to love anybody else. You don't have to be the you know, and by the way, just ladies, just stop reading fashion magazines. They're only going to make you feel like you have no sense of self-worth. I mean,
we can still read them to see the latest trends.
Well, yeah, but you know, it's not going to look like that on you. It never does. I mean, sometimes if you want to see something funny, Google women when they ordered stuff in the mail, what it looked like in the magazine and what it looked like when they tried it on. There's like a whole series of that out there right now. It's so funny. I mean, you can't help but laugh at it. But focus more so about your purpose of why you're here and what you're supposed to be doing to make a difference in the world. You know, we say in martial arts, your physicality is going to fade away because we're all going to get old. Looks will fade. Your memory will fade. You know, your ability to kick and punch if you're in martial arts is going to fade. But your spirit, that will last forever. The spiritual aspects of a person's life and their soul is something that will last long after you've crossed over and you're gone. That's what you need to focus on. Unfortunately, that's what most of us don't focus on enough. So with that being said, I want to encourage you to take your spiritual journey and make a difference in yourself and make a difference in the lives of other people because you are worthy. You are worthy simply by the fact that you're created in the image of a deity. If God the Creator created you, you are not junk. All right, Maria, please tell me what you would like everybody to know. Go ahead and give yourself a plug.
Well, let me say one more thing. I think Mother Teresa said, if you want to change the world, go home and just start loving your family. You know, sometimes you think, what is our purpose in life? Just start by loving yourself and your family. I want everybody to know that during this Christmas season, know that that God has a great plan for you, and though there may be times of loneliness and sadness and just moments of chaos, just know that the sun comes out tomorrow and everything's going to be okay.
Future. Look forward to a good future, absolutely, because the enemy will always be out there to try to make you feel like you don't have good things coming. And just by the fact that you are reaching out to God above and you believe in him, and you and I, we believe in Christ, which is our power source, then there's no way you're not going to have good things coming, ladies and gentlemen. Please take hope in that. Maria, wonderful words. Thank you so much. Stay right where you are. Also would like to let you know, I have a book that's out called They Call Me Master if you're in martial arts. It's basically philosophy, a lot of like what we talk, with a martial arts twist. So you don't have to be a martial artist to get it, and I hope you enjoy it. It's available online through Century Martial Arts, the world's largest martial arts sport gear and equipment carrier. So please check into that if you enjoy reading. My blog is Master Karen Eden, Master of Inspiration, where you can find my radio shows and you can find my latest daily doses of inspiration. This is a program that runs through AMAA Radio. So thank you very much, Grandmaster Jesse Bowen, for talking me into doing this show because I really wasn't thinking about it the whole lot. And he goes, you know what, you really need to do this. So thank you, sir, for that. And what else? I'm a martial artist.
The show is brought to you by, if you need to have any real estate needs, please feel free to call me.
Okay, yeah, go ahead, finish up. Tell everybody where you work.
I work for Liv Sotheby's International Realty. I am a real estate agent in Denver, Colorado, but I can help you on a national and global level. So if you have any real estate needs, please feel free to call me.
Absolutely, and if nothing else, if you're downtown Cherry Creek, the area where Liv Sotheby's is, please stop in and get one of their cookies because they're very high-end cookies, and it'll be worth your time just to go out and grab a handful of cookies. Because that's what I do.
Yes.
Okay, so I Am a Martial Artist, guys, is sold out. It's available on Amazon.com, but I know they're very limited. That book was a huge hit for me. It kind of set me in martial arts philosophy or the field of martial arts. So, and I have other books. You can look them up. I have 4 books total. And, of course, I, if you get the magazine, Taekwondo Times and MA Success, I hope you look forward to my inspirational writings in there as well. Want to say thank you so much because, you know, Marie, it's like this, as much as we think maybe we're helping other people, I learn more from other people. I learn more watching them and seeing how they're running their lives and learning from them. And so I want to thank you, everybody, for being a part of my life and a part of my world. And I want to let you know, especially my MA brothers and sisters, I consider you my family. I really do. God bless you, and we will see you next time on Master of Inspiration. Bye, Maria. Bye, everybody.
This program is brought to you by the American Martial Arts Alliance and Who's Who in the Martial Arts. Visit our website so you can own a copy of Who's Who in the Martial Arts. This book is considered as the martial arts history book. Visit our website, www.whoswhointhemartialarts.com, or give us a call, 919-489-6100.